Okay, let's come to order and begin class three, please. Rather, I would prefer to begin class two, or the middle of class two. What we want to do in this class primarily is, and we'll get to it in a very few minutes, I hope, to talk about our hope and how Jeremiah talked so much about our hope. I know we've heretofore talked mainly about the condemnations that Jeremiah pronounced upon the children of Israel, Benjamin and Judah. And it's throughout his book, actually, or nearly throughout his book. And we, as we said, the Gentile nations are even called out for punishment, all of which occurred. But in chapters 30 through 33, we have some beautiful passages that perfectly fit in the theme, the overall theme of Scripture regarding God's plan and some perspective, or some retrospective rather, and perspective as well. And of course, we're really interested in the perspective. And as we said in the beginning of class one, this weekend and going forward from this time, we need to all do all we can to keep a positive attitude individually in our home ecclesias and our families or what have you, even though problems will continue to come, perhaps even more severe than we've ever experienced. Maybe not, but we don't know. We know people of God down through the ages in certain eras have been punished greatly. We, in this day and age, in this nation, in our lives, have not been punished as many have been in generations and centuries past. Those who claimed this book, who stood firm and were called down for it by whoever, those in authority, and those who had power of the sword or what have you. Let's look at chapter 17 very briefly. We have a couple of overheads to show on it. 17, 9 and 10. We probably all have this one committed to memory and know its location. But for a quick review, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. All will be judged eternally according to their works. Those accountable to Adam will remain in the congregation of the dead, never to rise again. Proverbs 21:16 reads, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." God knows our thoughts afar off, as we read in Psalms. Only God and the individual himself can know his own mind. We cannot know the mind and heart of another, not fully. The best we can know is based on the words and actions of another. But what is not spoken or what is not done by the other individual or other individuals really would reveal the heart and the mind of another. Chapter 11. One is unable to be passive or indifferent and escape judgment. In most cases, judgment will be Adamic condemnation, eternal death from the time of birth. Will one be okay if he simply chooses to disregard God? Hardly. Scripture teaches that a person will serve God or perish eternally. So we really need to have our things together. We need to be prepared in these last and evil days. Chapter 44 was written in about 571 B.C. when Jeremiah was in Egyptian captivity, and we would have covered it in class 2, but we'll forego it and go right on to class 3, what we have prepared for class 3. But at the end of, after we studied chapter 29, with all the appeals that were made to the children of Israel, with all the encouragement that Jeremiah tried to give them and tried to instill in them that they should hold out hope if they returned to God and realize He would protect them, they still would not hear, they still would not act. So we have a question here in large letters. What does it take for a people to hear? What does it take for a people to hear? Even when some of Benjamin and Judah who remained after the third invasion in Jerusalem or escaped down to Egypt before it occurred, when they escaped down to Egypt, they immediately did what? Adopted the abominable practices of the Egyptians, the idolatrous practices of the Egyptians. So, with all Jeremiah had told them for 50 years, or 40 years, I guess, well, yeah, 40 years, still would not listen. In fact, that's an interesting thing. He prophesied or taught for 40 years before the last of the three invasions, more or less like a trial period. I didn't see that brought out by any of the reading I'd done by the various sources we got information from, but that is in fact the case, because he's supposedly started about 629, 620, some say 626 B.C. They went into Babylonian captivity, the third invasion rather, and final one, when Jerusalem was destroyed, was around 586 B.C. Well, if you do the math, that's right at 40 years. So, about a 40-year trial period occurred to them. Let's get to chapter 30, and we plan to spend the rest of the time 30 through 33. And again, these chapters show that there was much more to Jeremiah's ministry than condemnation to the children of Israel in that era in which he lived. As we said, it holds out much hope for us. Chapter 30 in entirety is yet to be fulfilled. The language is such that it is of the latter days, and even says so in verse 24. We want to read selected verses from this chapter, and we will be doing a lot of verse reading this last class, but I think it will be the best use of our time. Starting at verse 7, "Alas, for the day is great, there is none, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Nations and individuals must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom," as we read Acts 14:22. Let's key on the verse which speaks of salvation, "but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up to them." We note here the first David had died over 350 years earlier. "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be ye dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." We read in class 2 some wording which indicated that Benjamin and Judah would be totally destroyed. And the wording seems to indicate that it would be done when the Babylonians came down to take them. But we said that destroying all, was not to be taken literally, and this bears that out. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, thus saith Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yahweh, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. At the time of the kingdom yet to be established, the Jews will be full of happiness and righteousness, quite in contrast to the time of Jeremiah when they were happy in idolatry. This is stated again in chapter 31, verse 4, which reads, again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. And verse 12 of chapter 31, Jeremiah, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgin rejoice and dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Back to chapter 30, verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? This verse is messianic. It refers to a governor in their midst. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Chapter 31. Beginning at verse 1, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Verse 3 of this chapter is beautiful. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So beautiful and plain are the words in Romans 12 in which the Apostle Paul relates this to the time of the millennium in verses 25 and 26. And we read them. Romans 12, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the time of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And we read in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of what? Of who? David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. We again see without question that Israel was never to be totally destroyed by her enemies. God's plan for the future had and still has a special appointment for his people, natural Israel. And continuing on, Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. Therefore they shall say, Come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yahweh for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and for the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. At that time the nations from Assyria and Babylon on down in time will know that it was God who scattered them, and also it will be Yahweh who has regathered them and established them in their own land to be there for 1,000 years. In that time, the beautiful passage we read in Zechariah 8:23 will be fulfilled. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Jeremiah 31, verse 23. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And let's look at verses 31 through 40. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. And we know that in the time of Jeremiah, the children of Israel were in the covenant, under the covenant rather, that had been made with their fathers when they came into the land. But this shall be, verse 33, the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, The Lord, or Yahweh of hosts, is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. We see from that again a reference to their evil and misbehavior. Because if they had done according to the scriptures or according to the instructions that God had given them through his prophets, sending them early, there would have been no need for that verse to be in here. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built unto Yahweh from the tower of Hananel unto the corner of the gate, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gereb, and shall compass about Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and of all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto Yahweh. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. What a contrast that will be to what is in place today with the nations that are in opposition to Israel. Among the nations, Israel is less and less favored year by year. Almost we see it day by day, we think, on a steep decline. And often only the United States used to vote with Israel on matters before the United Nations. And they have been, the United States has been a very faithful partner to Israel. This year, that is 2015, has experienced a big rift between Israel and the administration of the U.S. government. Could it be that the final stage is in process to be set for Israel to become without another nation on earth to support it? The time of God's favoring Israel that is spoken of in Scripture to its most full extent has yet to come. God is certainly in control of matters, as He always has been. And when the time comes for Him to favor Israel, under that phrase we see in Scripture, the entire world together, if they are so together at that time, will be unable to stop Him from doing so, and all their efforts will at last fail. All the rhetoric about sovereignty of nations and we have to defend our interests and on and on and on and on and on and on will not allow them to prevail. All their efforts will fail if they're not according to God's plan. If they have not cared for God and His Word, cared to gain knowledge of Scripture, gain understanding of Scripture, and act accordingly. Chapter 32. In this chapter, we find Jeremiah during the time of the siege of the land purchases a field in Israel to show that God would bring the captives back from Babylon. This was supposed to be an indicator of that to them. The setback to the nation was temporary, and they would once again flourish. And land would be needed, even in the land they had left to go into captivity. Verses 38 through 42 must be read of this chapter. 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, and they may fear, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. So we see a new covenant is to be made, and God says He will put fear in their hearts. They won't take it to themselves to fear Him, or would not. He will not have done so heretofore, but He says He will put fear in their hearts. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. So He says, as bad as your captivity was, as bad as you suffered for your evil during the time of Jeremiah, you will receive that much on the good side. In other words, you will be abundantly blessed. This is further evidenced by the last verse of the chapter in 44, which says, men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith Yahweh. That is, he means he will return them from captivity. His wording is a little confusing if we don't realize the whole story, so to speak. He will return them from captivity and to salvation in the kingdom age. Chapter 33. This entire chapter is one of our blessed hope in God's promises to favor his chosen people, natural Israel. But with language, in some verses, that is also perspective of the 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ. Natural Israel will be corrected in measure, and then, and only then, will they be saved. Let's read that again. Natural Israel will be corrected in measure, and then and only then will they be saved. We will read selected verses from chapter 33. Verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith Yahweh, the maker thereof, Yahweh that formed it, to establish it. Yahweh is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, or Yahweh, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. And skip to verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure to it. A comment here. The nations will then themselves see the tremendous and great power of Yahweh by his actions through Jesus and the saints. And initially, they will tremble in total ignorant disbelief and fear. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, verse 10, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and with inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of Yahweh, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith Yahweh. And skipping to verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. For thus saith Yahweh, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Let's look back at Jeremiah 17 and read verses 24 through 26. Jeremiah 17, 24 through 26. But stay in 33 with a mark or marker, and we'll go back to it in briefly. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. So we see here that Jeremiah, in all his books or chapters of the book, talks about a lot of subjects. Here we see that he makes mention of the fact that there will be sacrifices in the kingdom by natural Israel. So he touches on a lot of subjects as we go through the book of Jeremiah. And it was barely scratching the surface today, I'm afraid. Chapter 33, verse 19. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So, has that happened yet? They came back from the captivity of the 70 years, and incidentally, Brother Paul said, I made reference to 70 weeks, the 70 weeks of captivity a time or two in class one, I believe. Apologize for that. Thinking about the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, but the captivity of the children of Israel in Babylon was precisely 70 years, and I should have used that term referring to their captivity. But he says he'll bring them again from that captivity, and he did after the 70 years. But they didn't have a king to rule after then. There has not been a united Israel since then. I mean, the 12 tribes and 10 tribes under a kingdom set up by the Almighty. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Back to chapter 33. As the host of heaven cannot be measured, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should no more be a nation before me. Thus saith Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. So that's the end of chapter 33 and all we were planning to cover in the book. But we do have a few more slides, more of an exhortive nature, that I wanted to continue on with. When we read of the children of Israel say, we will do what we want to, every imagination of our heart, or we will walk in our own ways or our own desires, and they said that more than once in reply or rebuttal to Jeremiah, I think we might have to think about these three words, which we hear more and more, or the concepts of these three words we hear more and more each day. And that sounded like a society that has a live and let live or laissez-faire, which really applies more to capitalism, but it's all related philosophy, one that scarcely considers God's word, and those who do so have their voices drowned out by the political, vocal, and carefree populace. That was the beginning of class three. We see that a contingent of natural Israel has an appointed place in God's eternal kingdom, which we already said there in class three. And we've mentioned about the big rift between Israel and the administration of the United States. And we read 31:11 here, said he would not leave them wholly unpunished. And those are some more that I think we read most of those also. And this one here, of course, is worth maybe mentioning again because it talks about its reference to Jesus and the Messiah sitting on his throne, at which time both spiritual Israel, ourselves, and natural Israel will be saved. So far, some verses we've already covered, a couple we've already covered, and this is the one I had up the very first slide of before the first class. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Well, it's made clear from the teachings of our Master that servants who stay true to their Lord have to be on guard continually so that they quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we need to remain totally focused on our high calling as was spoken of by Paul in Ephesians 6:16. Of course, the children of Israel far deviated from their high calling. But we, as spiritual Israel, those of us who have come into covenant relationship, need to maintain our focus sharply. Given the teachings by Jesus to count the cost and given the commandment that one has to make to serve him, it should be no surprise that those who wish to come under the everlasting covenant by baptism must understand that the servants of Jesus are bought, that is, redeemed with a price, which is his precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1. In 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not his own? You're not your own, rather. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's a very important set of verses and a very important concept for us to grasp and honor. And we also know Jesus, as was Jeremiah, one who did not, both of them, did not revile again when they were reviled. And when Jesus suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And it's interesting, I think, the way this appears, although that himself is an ellipsis or seems to be added, but it is true. He committed himself. He did more than just make a commitment or declare that he would do a particular thing. He did declare he would do a particular thing. In his case, serve God totally, and he did. But he didn't just make a commitment to do a certain one-time thing. It was all his life he committed himself to God and his commandments. Now, that's a comment on that committed himself. But it says it referred to himself and the judgment of his cause to his father's good pleasure as rather to desire pardon for his persecutors than vengeance upon them. And that's what we need to do as well, as difficult as it might be. The same one again. So we're unable to express strongly enough the importance placed on the fact that one must commit himself or herself forevermore to service in the Lord's vineyard. And when he comes or she comes into covenant relationship, that is in this era through the waters of baptism, we are to be active in the vineyard of Yahweh. It's not okay to just not sin. That is, if we were able to do so, and we know we're not. We are not to be neutral, passive, or independent. Rather, we are to be active and positive and passionate about God's Word. We are to study and consider and work on those things which do profit. And I think this is the last one, and it's a repeat of what we read in class 2. Again, this one speaks volumes. So I'm going to read it one more time, if you'll bear with me. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that is Yahweh, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And we know under this word loving kindness, God was very, very, very extremely patient with the children of Israel and all their wanderings and all their evil ways. He tried repeatedly to get them to repent and come back to him. And it was hardly ever the case that they did. And we know, like we said, for the most part, they were totally, totally astray and in opposition to what he would have them do, particularly as to show forth his praise in the earth. Anybody have any questions, comments? I probably left out a lot that some would have cared to have covered, and we had a lot more material than we did cover. But Jeremiah is a wonderful study. It's very long. I need to give Sister Sandra some credit. She sent me a study book they had in Florida many years ago. It was put out by the Testimony Magazine in the early 1990s, and it's a good source. And I did glean some from it after I put all this together years ago, actually. But that's a very good set of notes if you can get those. And the book by C.C. Walker is good also, the one just titled Jeremiah. And there's plenty of information on the internet to give a lot of historical background of the era of time. And you can find some good commentaries too on it, I think. So with that said, we're about out of time. But is anybody, I'd be glad to hear a comment or question that, probably couldn't answer a question, but I'll be glad to hear one. Probably somebody in here can. Does anybody study this in some detail and have some thoughts or ideas you'd like to share with us, or a question that's bothered you about it? None. Okay, everybody's hungry. Well, thanks for your time and attention, and may God bless and keep us all.